Well, helping to shed some light on this situation is Dr. Binoy Campmark, who ran as a WikiLeaks Party Senate candidate for Victoria alongside Assange in 2013. He's also a senior lecturer at RMIT. Doctor, thank you for joining the Monday Daily.
It's a pleasure being with you.
So I suppose the initial thought was that Julian Assange was going to be finally able to walk out of the embassy in London for almost 5 years there. But he's not been able to do that because of some other charges. So could you please just clear up the air around that? Because I think it's quite confusing for a lot of people.
Yes, a lot of this has stemmed from the misunderstanding that the central point of a lot of this discussion was the investigation by Swedish prosecutors, which was an ongoing one, of course, with fits and starts, and that once it was announced last week, there was a press conference, of course, also on Saturday, about this particular point in Stockholm. And what was made very clear was that the investigation had been dropped into the possibility that Julian Assange had committed a particular degree, what is known as a lesser charge of rape. That was how it was framed. But what stood out as well was that the warrant, which was on the books and has been on the books since 2012, for arresting Assange in the UK for not complying with the Supreme Court order there to be surrendered to Sweden, still stands. So even though the investigation in Sweden has collapsed or dropped, the warrant, as it were, still exists in the UK. So the moment Assange steps outside the embassy, he will be arrested, and the Metropolitan Police have released a statement to that effect.
Okay, so there was talk of the U.S. preparing U.S. charges against Assange. What do you expect these will be?
Okay, now this is an interesting point. There are a couple of aspects to this. One is that there has been a grand jury investigation into WikiLeaks for some time, into its activities and so forth. That's one aspect of it that's been conducted ever since the so-called Cablegate, when the 250,000 or so diplomatic cables were released. But there is also the issue that recently the Attorney General Jeff Sessions and also Mike Pompeo, who's the CIA director, has made it clear that according to himself and also according to Mr. Sessions, the free speech amendment in the United States Constitution does not extend to WikiLeaks and its activities. And in fact, what was said by Pompeo was very striking, that essentially WikiLeaks was a foreign enemy organization, and that's a very important point, that was essentially for hire. And so they have been stating or making claims that the investigation has been stepped up into identifying ways to, as it were, charge Assange and his associates. And it's a very difficult thing to imagine how they could go around it, for the simple fact that they received material from someone within the United States. So for example, of course, Chelsea Manning, who was also released last week. So they're trying to draft out ways where they could possibly, prosecute WikiLeaks, but it's going to be a very difficult thing, be it in terms of computer theft, be it in terms of espionage, because WikiLeaks technically hasn't done any of those things.
Okay, so I suppose when I say associate in this sense, I don't mean associate as in terms of criminal activity, but someone who is a supporter of WikiLeaks. Is that fair enough to class yourself as that, given that you are ran as a...
Very much have been supporting the transparency agenda, the agenda of the open information environment, I suppose, that WikiLeaks is very much part of. And, of course, those who are associated with receiving material or dealing with WikiLeaks or dealing with receiving material for the website, all of individuals potentially could be caught up in this particular problem. And I think that's why it is both an object of interest and concern, and that's why the next stage in terms of how this works will be very interesting to see.
Of course. Now, I just want to speak a bit about WikiLeaks for a moment. They are someone who I think were, in political terms, seen as a hero of the left-wing movement when it's in its infancy. But then in the 2016 election, a lot of people laid blame at WikiLeaks for the election of Donald Trump. What do you think about those kind of this idea that WikiLeaks is an organization that's kind of been moving from left to right in terms of partisanship?
Well, I don't think it's been moving in any particular direction other than the simple instance of having material that is available for consumption. Now, of course, the old problem is, and this is the old agenda matter with what information does, if it's, of course, going to show you or cast a political side in a bad light, you're always going to impute a political motive for releasing it or implying that its availability has something to do with motive. But the agenda of WikiLeaks has always been that the information is put out and you make do with it what you want. If you want to see the abuses of a dictator, as happened in the context with Tunisia, of course, you know, then protest. And WikiLeaks cables were very important in the context of overthrowing Ben Ali. I mean, it was not, of course, the central element, but it was an important thing. When it came to the issue of exposing strategies and techniques and methods and the dimension of the Clinton campaign in 2016, that was also part of the political debate. It's not a, you know, information is there to be used and discussed, and that's the whole point. And if there had been, and there was so much material, of course, in every aspect of that election as well that was discussed, but the supporters of Hillary Clinton, of course, and those who were against Trump, naturally construed WikiLeaks as taking a political angle favoring Trump. It was nothing of the sort. And I think you should remember that the Trump administration is no friend of WikiLeaks, as is evident by the latest policy stance it's taken.
Indeed. I want to follow up just on that. I mean, do you think WikiLeaks is a force for good?
I do think it's a very constructive force insofar as it holds the governments of the day, those at least entities who have access and then in some cases corporations, accountable for the information that they do have. So if they do operate in the shadows, if they do operate in the manner of the deep state, then I think there is a lot to be said about shining a light on the activities of, and the inner workings of the state.
Of course, for that reason, I just want to ask quickly about that. What do you say about the criticisms then that it has put soldiers' lives in danger by releasing kind of sensitive information, especially around military operations?
Absolutely. Well, I can actually dispel that with a couple of reports that have been examined WikiLeaks cables. And of course, that's the old thing. You have to actually go to the database to look and see whether this exposure has, in fact, endangered people's lives. There was a defense analysis conducted by the Pentagon in the United States into this and found no evidence at all that any of the material had actually compromised U.S. security risks or interests and such. It had revealed patterns, behavior, conduct, and, of course, had revealed certain activities in the field, but it did not reveal anything compromising in that. The second was also a review done by Associated Press, which also showed that there was no a discernible exposure or undue revelation that compromise people's lives as such. It is also true that initially the WikiLeaks releases did not show as much nuance as they do now. So the recent, for example, CIA releases, Vault 7, so-called Vault 7 release files, have also been more careful in terms of redacting certain materials, certain names, and so on. So I think it's important to note that there's also been an evolution of the WikiLeaks approach, but I also think it's very important to note that it has not been endangering people's lives, which is a very common throwaway line that is taken by representatives of state.
Of course, you're listening to SCR 107.3 on the Monday Daily. My guest is Dr. Binoy Kantmark, who ran as a WikiLeaks Party Senate candidate for Victoria alongside Assange in 2013, and is also a senior lecturer at RMIT in Melbourne. I just want to ask back home now, is the Australian government under any obligation to help Assange?
As an Australian citizen, Assange is entitled to consular help, but repeatedly what has happened since he has been in the Ecuadorian embassy, we've seen minimal efforts in so far as Australian efforts to try to, get him to sanctuary, get him to safety and so on. And of course, the reasons for that are essentially fundamental. When we see, for example, the statements that have been made by various prime ministers over the years, the assumption essentially, and this was demonstrated by the Gillard government, where there were some statements made by Prime Minister Gillard then, that essentially Assange had broken the law. The problem was that she couldn't identify what law had been broken. And there is no Australian law that Assange would have broken, but the problem is that, of course, Australia has a very close working security relationship with the United States, and so that alliance aspect of it complicates the dealings with Assange. There's no way one can treat him as a standard consular case, as it were.
Indeed. And what do you think Assange may be hoping to do over the next, I suppose, 6 months, given the legal battle is continuing for himself? Have you been in contact with Julian Assange at all? And or can you give any insight as to how he may approach the upcoming turmoil?
Well, not sort of direct contact, but certainly aware of the activities of the, you know, the legal processes and the legal team in terms of how things are being dealt with. Obviously, one of the tasks that is very much in the forefront is trying to have the warrant overturned in the immediate future. That is to say, the warrant that is outstanding dealing with the Metropolitan Police and his refusal in 2012 to surrender to the UK Supreme Court ruling. So that is certainly a priority. The other priorities are that the Courage Fund has been developed and founded with, along with a few organizations. The whole point of the fund is to defend WikiLeaks activities and to help, for example, provide compensation for Chelsea Manning, as I said, recently released, but also to fight a case on behalf of Chelsea Manning to overturn and vacate the conviction that she received, of course, for actually revealing or supplying WikiLeaks with classified documentation whilst she was, as it were, working as an intelligence analyst for the Army. So there are ongoing things that I'm placed, and in addition, of course, to the regular troves that are being released in terms of government activities and so forth.